Let's stay in an attitude of prayer. God, we just are here to worship you and to glorify you. And I just hope that all that we are about will be focused on that. God, you have called us. And you not only call us, but you equip us. And so, Lord, may each one of us understand that call for our individual lives. And not only for our individual lives, but for this congregation, Lord. And that may we be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in all kinds of ways. Whether we go far away to Africa. Whether we serve in our food pantry or Fletcher Place and have those moments with persons that we're serving. Whether we take time to visit with congregational members who are hurting, who are recovering, Lord, you call us. So, Lord, help each and every one of us to hear that call. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, as I begin the first scripture today, Matthew 28, I think that song that we just sang is a summary of Matthew 28. Because we said, shout it and scream it from the mountain who God is. And I believe that's what Matthew 28 says to us. So I think that this was a great summary of that. And those words, I think, are fairly well-known scriptural message. Go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and remember that I am with you to the end of the age. We've labeled that scripture the Great Commission, and I think that we need to remember that the Great Commission is not the great suggestion. Nor is it intended to be a great omission. It is truly the call that God has given to all of us. It's truly a description of the life that Jesus lived here on earth. He knew his call and he knew the vision, and that's what he lived. I think if we look, so maybe we want to say, okay, what does it look like to live that out? And I think Matthew answered that question also for us in an earlier chapter in 25, as he said that Jesus said, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me." So, we are commissioned to do this work. That's what Jesus did while he was here on earth. That's what he did. And I believe what is important for us as a church to remember is to remember this commissioning. Because I think sometimes what happens, because I hate to admit to it, but I think that there are many churches in our nation who are dying. And I believe that a church dies when it goes into a maintenance mode. A church dies when they suddenly are only thinking about their community, themselves. What do we need? What do we want? Instead of continuing to be open to the mission to which God calls, which that's why I wanted you to move around and change your seats. When God calls us, he calls us to things that are uncomfortable and that are different. And that keeps a church alive instead of dying. So here's something you need to know. Missions is not an optional. It's not optional. And I think we need to be very careful when we talk about missions, because when we often talk about the ministries here at this church, we'll say we have ministry teams, we have ministry children, youth, music, missions. And I think we need to be very careful about that, those silos, because those are not, missions is not to be a silo just like all of the others. It's missions is kind of the overarching, and we are to see missions alive in every single one of those other ministries. So I'll give you some four examples, because I believe that we do this well. I don't ever think we've done it as well as we can do it. I think it's always an area of growth, but I think we do it well. For example, Reverend Adrian and Amelia and Karen are over in Africa. I saw this the last time I went to Africa, because the Vacation Bible School kids did this years ago before I went, but the kids made little cards. Honestly, they were simple little cards on paper, but they wrote a message and colored it. Really, that was all it was, maybe in our minds. But when we were a part of worship over there, and those cards were handed out to those children, you would have thought that they were running to get some gold from us. Because they ran all over one another to get one of these little cards. And that's what VBS did again. So I know that they are over there when they had an opportunity to worship, to give that gift to those children. Again, that's keeping us mission-oriented within children's ministry. I think about the youth. Okay, how do they engage and know that they are missional? One of the ways, I know if any of you bought a Christmas tree here, that's a fundraiser for missions. And so that's an opportunity for them to raise funds so that they may go out into mission in other places. Music. You know, the choir and the band. I know everyone, honestly, this is their service. This is their outreach to this congregation. But I know the choir doesn't stop there. They've been challenged. In December, they went to a couple different facilities where they went around and caroled. When it comes time for Roberts Park, which is another mission that we do where we serve persons in inner city in Indianapolis, and not only do we serve them a meal that day, but we also give them a brown bag for another meal, the choir members will gather and they will assemble those bags for those persons who go down and serve in Roberts Park. If any of you are in grow groups, we don't just stop and think these grow groups are for fellowship, these grow groups are for our own growth, but grow groups are challenged also to find a mission or something that they can do together that's missional so that they may serve. So I believe that we have embraced this understanding of the Great Commission and allowed it to filter through all of our ministries, but I think we need to be committed to that continually so that we don't become a dying church, because that's what happens when we lose that focus. Today I wanted to work through from the Gospel of John, chapter 17. And I'll start first with verses 1 through 7. We'll finish up with the other verses toward the end of my message. And I feel like this is a little longer and way to talk about the subject, but also digs in a little more deeply. So that's why I wanted us to reflect on it today. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him." And I pause here because in those sentences, what I hear is that Jesus is reflecting back what the vision was for him. He knew what vision was cast for him, and he's saying, here it is. And I know that I was to go down to earth, and I was given authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. And I pause. Jesus knew what he was supposed to do, and he came to earth and he did it. And so he's saying here, God, I have completed what you've asked me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. Remember, Jesus left heaven and came down to earth to do the work that he had been called to do. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. I feel like that's just kind of a reflection back on, he knew what he was supposed to do. He's now saying, I think it's been accomplished. Now, they know that everything you have given me is from you. And I think that word now is a key word. It's a transition. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. And the way I read that is, I read that as a word of handoff. I've done it. And now I need to hand this off for someone else to be the hands and feet that I had used when I was here on earth. When I was thinking about, wait, just hold up a minute. When I was thinking about sports analogies, And so I thought about, you know, track back. There, you know, there are all kinds of sporting events in the Olympics, and the 4x100, where how they always have these handoffs, right? They hand off the baton, and sometimes it goes really, really smoothly. But then my next slide is, sometimes it's a disaster, isn't it? Sometimes it just doesn't work. And I think that what Jesus is saying is, I've talked about, I've lived the way that I want those people on earth to follow me, and I'm handing it off to them. So Jesus had a focus. He focused on making disciples and growing disciples, and if it wasn't about that, then he just didn't do it. Because he knew what he needed to do. And as individuals, if we keep that vision and that purpose in front of us each and every day and in all the places that we are, that's when I say we stop doing missions and we become missional. We stop doing missions and we become missional. Because I believe that's what Jesus intends. It's to absolutely consume our hearts and to take over our hearts so that everything that we encounter each and every day, we see through that lens and it keeps us focused. And when we live that way, I will promise you that we are changed. John Steinbeck said, "We do not take a trip. A trip takes us." We do not take a trip. A trip takes us. That's a real different way of looking at life. And again, this is what Jesus modeled as the purpose. And so what one thing I think that we can know is mission is incarnational. Mission is incarnational. So what that means to us is that indeed Jesus lived in heaven, came down to earth in the form of a baby. He became incarnational. He came, he left his home of comfort, and he came to this world where he was accused of things, when there were awful things said to him and done to him and done about him. But he knew that he was needed no matter what. And so he stayed the course, clear to the time when he went to the cross. So, an incarnation that Jesus lived was a change in culture. Jesus lived in a different and new culture. And while he was here, he continually paid attention to what the culture was and how it changed. And again, as I use this church as an example of being a missional kind of church as opposed to a maintenance, I look back over the years of what kinds of things we have done that we consider to be mission, and how we have paid attention to the culture and how that may need to change. For example, years ago we had the Angels Attic, which was in a house that has been taken down, and they sold secondhand clothing. That was before the time when we have lots of places around that have secondhand clothing. And so things changed. And so that ministry went away. It didn't mean we were no longer doing mission, but we were paying attention to the culture that maybe needs something different. And if you changed your seat today, which I don't know a lot of you where you sit, so I don't even know how many of you participated. So, but if you sit in a different place, isn't it a different, just a little different experience when you look at somebody up front here from a different angle? Isn't that just a little different? A couple weeks ago, during the final Colts game of the season, boo. There was a commercial, a Hyundai commercial, and they were emphasizing that their vehicle made it possible for you to do things that would take you out of your comfort zone. And at the end it said, living in your comfort zone will not be the kinds of things that you will tell your grandchildren about. So when we step out of that comfort zone, yeah, experiences are different. But they really become something that we have a passion for and we're excited about. When we talk about comfort, we talk about cultures and living in a new culture. I thought about, there was a television series back in the 60s, and now you can see these shows as reruns. And I can remember laughing, and everyone laughed so hard when you saw this, because it was truly a story of a clash of two cultures. I don't know if you figured it out yet, but I want to share with you a short video clip from one of those shows, and we're going to enjoy the Beverly Hillbillies.
That sure is a mighty fine eating table.
Snitching a pop.
Granny, you gotta admit, folks built this table sure knows what they were doing. It is built solid.
It is that. You could set a half dozen turkey gobblers on there and never sag it a bit.
This here is a dandy idea, especially if you got young ones at the table. A plate won't slip off on the floor.
Yeah, I've sure scrubbed up a mess of pone and sorghum.
Bet nobody ever scrubbed up none from this floor.
There's been plenty spilled on the table, though.
Sorghum?
Something sticky. I can't get that green tablecloth off. They'll save me.
Stuck on it?
I can't imagine anybody to lay a clean tablecloth on a sticky table.
Yeah, Granny, I reckon all women ain't as thick a span as you are when it comes to keeping house.
Here you are, Granny.
Set it in the middle of the table so we'll see if these pot passers reach.
Yeah, I reckon that'll do the trick, all right.
Ted, maybe you better whittle some sharp points on a few of them, and then we can spear the meat and pass it.
Good idea, Granny. I'll do that.
How do you reckon the folks that lived here before us passed things?
Well, they probably had a big family and passed from hand to hand. That reminds me, we're having five for our Thanksgiving meal. Let us say grace. We sure have got a lot to be thankful for, Lord. We got good health, and good neighbors, good food. Jethro's going to school. Ellie's got a feller. I guess everything is just about fine, and we sure do thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Jethro, hand out the pot passers and the meat stabbers, and let's get at it.
Hippie's on drumstick.
So when we experience culture changes, sometimes it looks like that, you know. And it doesn't mean anything necessarily is right or wrong. It's just different, right? Because to Granny, a possum on the road is, oh, dinner. But to those in Beverly Hills, it was, oh, my gosh, this is a potential accident. Let's call animal control, right? And then you saw that Granny would often teach, she'd catch that possum and serve it to proper guests at dinner. Always had an opportunity to laugh. So we do. It's about, missions is also about different cultures. And so the thing that I think we always need to remember is that we don't need to be doing mission. What we really need to be is being mission. And that's really our goal, is that we become changed. And being missional means that in our everyday life that we can't pass a moment up. We can't pass an opportunity up. We are looking for an opportunity in every single moment of our day. It's like it's in our DNA. It's in DNA. It changes our outlook and how we live out our lives. There was a YouTube that went viral about a week or two ago, and when I saw it, I thought, oh my gosh, if I'm going to talk about us being missional and how we're changed, there's not a better example. So I want to share with you this piece that went viral about a FedEx worker and who I say gets being missional. Will you watch?
Well, as you can tell, I'm at work. I just had to pull over and share something real quick. As I'm delivering, I pull up to his house. The lady walks out because she's checking her mailbox for her newspaper. And I have two boxes for her, so we start walking up the driveway together. And she asked me if I had a happy holidays, and I was telling her how busy it was. Told her I had a really great Christmas and New Year's, and I asked her the same. I was like, how was your holidays? And with tears in her eyes, she said, it wasn't good. And she said, he's sick. My husband's sick. He has cancer. I continued a small talk to try to change the subject because that's awkward. And I deliver her package. She said, what's your name? I said, Amanda. And she told me her name. I drove off. My heart's pounding. I do probably 20 more stops, and I have to go back. You know, with this kind of job, we're on a tight schedule. Quicker you do it, the better. Quicker you get home. I stopped what I was doing. I went back to that neighborhood and rang her doorbell and asked her. She came down the stairs, and she had tears in her eyes. When she saw it was me, she smiled. And I said, ma'am, can I pray with you? And she just broke down. She came out on the front porch and squeezed me so tight. This lady I've never met. She held my hand so tight. And I prayed for her and her family and for her husband. And the point of this is a lot of people want the Lord to use them. And for me as an example, I pray every day for the Lord to use me. But when he's trying to use you, or when you feel that call and that tug on your heartstrings, do you move your feet? Do you move? Because I easily could have just went, I have 100 stops. I easily could have just went about the rest of my day thinking about it. So when you feel those tugs on your heartstrings and you feel like you need to do this, stop and do it. You know what I mean? Oh, man. That was like the most genuine hug I've received in a long time. And I just want to share that with you guys. If you're praying for the Lord to help and to use you in people's situations, when he is giving you a chance, do it. If not, you're going to continue to think about it and regret it. Like, so be sure you know what you're praying for when you're praying. I don't know. It made me sad, but yet it made my day. This lady was just so alone. But anyway, you guys have a good day.
I didn't think I could describe being missional better than seeing someone who was missional. And so, and again, I go back to who is supposed to be these persons in missions. It's everyone and it's every day. And I think that's what she said to us. I think she shared authentically an example of how her heart was changed, right? She couldn't go on throughout her day without going back. It's almost like it's that, maybe you've had it sometime, it's like that nudge or that thing in your head when you're thinking about it, and it just doesn't go away. You know, it just won't go away. And so how often do we just walk away from that? Or how often do we pay attention to it? And that's what being missional is. Being missional is acknowledging that God gave us the Great Commission, that Jesus came down, became incarnational, left his culture, came down here, and was a part of this and a part of us. He came down to this culture to be with we people, and to share his life, experience life as we experience. And now he says, it's yours now. Because you see, I need to go back up to be with God. But so much of this stuff still needs to happen here on earth. It's yours now. And so, are we paying attention every day and in every way, living our lives as if God is just waiting for us to notice that we're needed to do this? Because, you know, these kinds of moments, they don't just happen on Sundays. And they don't happen only when we go across that ocean to serve somewhere else. That also doesn't happen even when we go downtown Indianapolis to do something for a little bit. Those moments are a part of our every single moment of our life. That's why, and you may see on the front of your bulletin, it says, number 3 hour challenge. And so that's why this year we're going to be talking about this. You're going to be see lots of this number 3. Because number 3 to me is a lot about how can we learn to become missional as individuals. And that's the challenge. And so Chris Thornsberry, our minister of adult discipleship, will be posing this. And we look up there and we see there's our vision statement of this church: connect, grow, and serve. And so we're saying to all of us individually, let's live this out individually. So the challenge is, in your life, every week, you have 1 hour that you connect, 1 hour that you grow, and 1 hour that you serve. That's the way that we become missional. Because we're connecting with God. We're looking for opportunities to grow in our faith, our discipleship, so that we can understand really what this call is all about. And then when we have the head knowledge, the biblical knowledge, I'm going to say that's just not enough. Because then it has to move into action. We have to move in action. We want and need to be transformed. It's like these things are not just boxes that we'll check off. Maybe in the beginning it's almost like that. Okay, I'll think about that this upcoming, when am I going to do that this week? But what happens as we check off the boxes, it eventually becomes a process. And as that process happens over and over, we become affected and we become changed. So I don't want to talk about missions and doing missions. I want us to talk about being missions through and through. Because if we be missions, I don't have to talk about do missions. If we be missions, it's going to happen. But we have to open our hearts to realize that and to do that. I said I was going to finish with more scripture, so I read earlier John 17 verses 1 through 7. I want to finish up with reading the rest of the verses to verse 19. Now, they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. Okay, he says it's done. And they get it. They knew who I am. So I say now it's time for the great handoff. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, the handoff, but they are in the world. And so Jesus wants to make sure we know that we are cared for no differently than he was by God. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost. And I believe that refers to Judas. So that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you. And I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. Do you hear that? What Jesus did brought him joy. So he wants us to know that, yeah, he's calling us. But he's also saying, you'll find the joy. You'll find it. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one, warning us that there are many, many things that will come into our life that will try to distract us or sway us from this focus. And he's saying, I want you to protect them. They do not belong to the world just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself so that they may be sanctified in truth. Jesus was here, and he's handed it off to us now. So I hope this week that you'll ponder these 3 points: connect, grow, and serve. In my life, maybe first of all, think back to last week. In my life last week, what was the way that I connected with God or others, that I grew in my faith and love through biblical knowledge, and then finally that we serve the community and the world? What way this last week did I give 1 hour to each one of those? And then think about this upcoming week. In what way do you live that out this upcoming week? Week after week after week, then we find ourselves becoming missional. It's in our DNA. It's just who we are. And I believe that's what Jesus desires for most of us, to have, or for all of us, to experience that change. Will you bow your heads in prayer, please? Gracious and holy God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the messages and the examples that he gives to us for our lives. So, Lord, I just pray that as each one of us ponders this message, that we just think about what it means to be three and to grow our lives in three, so that in being three, we will be the missional persons that you call us to be. In the name of Jesus, amen.